The first case for argument this morning is appeal number 072350, Cheryl Janke versus the Lake County Convention. Judge Bauer was complimenting us for starting early this morning, at least according to that clock.
The clock is slow.
Good morning, Your Honors. Robert Goldstein on behalf of the defendant appellant, Cross Appalachia Lake County Convention and Visitors Bureau. Today I want to focus on one argument in my brief. I raised four different arguments, but for purposes of the time today, I want to focus on my first argument regarding the issue of co-authorship, which was a critical issue in this case. The issue arose in a summary judgment motion that we filed. Now, co-authorship was critical because Henry Farag and Cheryl Janke were identified in a copyright registration as co-authors. And under this court's decision in Erickson and the Copyright Act itself, co-authors have a right to license the work to anyone they want, and subject to an accounting between the co-authors for any revenue that they receive.
Can you clear up something for me?
Yes, Your Honor.
Your jurisdictional statement tells us that this appeal is taken from the May 16, 2007 order denying your motion for remittitor or a new trial.
Well, there was actually two appeals, Your Honor. Yes, it's taken from that, but it's also, I filed an order at the end of the case to appeal all other issues in the case.
But why isn't that in your jurisdictional statement? And your brief only has two decisions, the May 16, 2007 decision from Judge Cherry and the June 25, 07 decision from Judge Radonovich, which simply denied reconsideration.
Well, I was appealing the final orders, what I believe was the final orders in this case.
We're not. I know in your brief you talk about the summary judgment on the copyright issue was improperly granted, but I don't see that here. And you know, looking at this case was so heavily litigated in the district court. 13 separate opinions and orders from the various judges covering over 200 pages. And I look at your brief, and it seems like the argument that following your jurisdictional statement is only about remittitor.
No, my argument, I had four arguments.
I know that, but your jurisdictional statement doesn't tell us that, and your brief doesn't include any of the decisions on summary judgment.
They are attached as a part of the appendix.
In the appendix, but they're not in, they're supposed to be under our rules in the main brief, so we don't have to hunt around looking for these things, especially in a case like this where they're there's 371 separate docket entries in this case.
Yes, Your Honor. But the appeal, the notice of appeal included the appeal from all the from what I thought was the final order in this case, and there was actually two appeals I took. One was from the final order denying the remittitor motion or new trial, and then the other order was because I was unsure if that was the final order in this case. I then filed an order after the issue on attorney fees and prejudgment interest because the court was concerned that the earlier the order that I appealed was not the final order.
Well, go ahead. Go on with your argument. But that's troubling to me. That.
Okay. Well, maybe I should. If I address the question, I should address the issue though.
You can go on.
Okay.
Whatever presentation you want to make.
Okay. At any event, at the time we filed a summary judgment motion, We base a summary judgment motion on the co-authorship issue. And the co-authorship issue, again, concerns whether Mr. Farag and Ms. Janke, as co-authors, one of them could license this song to my client, Lake County Convention and Visitors Bureau. And that brought in the issue of the Erickson case, which this court decided in 1994. In our motion, we cited the fact that on the copyright registration, it that was filed by Cheryl Janke, it identifies both herself and Henry Farag as co-authors and co-owners of the song. And this motion was, in the end, unopposed. The plaintiff filed a motion. The plaintiff filed her response almost 2 months late in the court, and then the plaintiff tried to file a late response, and the court struck it. So the motion at that point was unopposed, and so we had to establish in the motion, under the test of Erickson, which is the independent copyrightable test, whether she was a co-author, or excuse me, whether Henry Farag was a co-author with Cheryl Janke. The proof we'd put in, which back up, that involves two elements, whether or not there was an intent to create a joint work, and then the second prong, whether the work is the contribution, in this case Mr. Farag, was independently copyrightable. On the first prong of the intent, we had submitted evidence that Janke had filed with the Copyright Office, the registration for the song that was used by Lake County in this case, shows she identifies both herself and Henry Farag as co-authors and owners of exclusive rights in the song. Now, that was filed in December of 1999. It was returned to her sometime after that because there was an error in the filing. So then she refiles it, completing the error, correcting the error. She refiles it again with the same identification of herself and Henry Farag as co-authors and co-owners. We had put that into evidence, and under Erickson, that would be sufficient to show the intent at the time, because this is a writing or a credit, so to speak. And Erickson talks about if one author gives credit to somebody else, that's an element of showing the intent to perform a joint work. So we had that. We also had as an affidavit with our motion, two affidavits. One was Cheryl Janke's affidavit herself, affidavit that she filed, where she says, well, you know, I did give him credit for 10% of the work. She doesn't identify exactly what he did, but she gave him credit for 10% of the work. The next thing is we had Henry Farag's affidavit where he states that he was a co-owner, co-author of this song, and he made contributions to this song. Under these circumstances, at least on the intent prong, we had established that there was intent to create a joint work here. Now, ultimately what happened was that the district court decided to treat Ms. Janke's motion for summary judgment as, in effect, a response to our motion. And the court took her affidavit in her response and said because she said in the affidavit that Henry Farag's contribution was de minimis, that there was no intent for a joint work. Well, after two motions for reconsideration, the court finally agreed that at least as to the intent issue, there was a factual dispute. So my point at this with this argument is that at the point of summary judgment, it was unopposed, and we had established the one prong and that some as to intent, so we should have at least had summary judgment on the intent prong. But if, for whatever reason, this court decides that we did not meet our burden on summary judgment, we at least had a factual issue on the intent that should have gone to the jury. Then the next question becomes, was this independently copyrightable? And we had shown that Mr. Farag had made contributions to the song. And let me back up about independently copyrightable, which is what the Erickson test is. Independently copyrightable, based on what Erickson says, is that it means it's got to be something more than an idea, something more than direction by somebody. Now, an example of, in our case, actually, what would be idea or direction would be Mr. Battistatos, who is the CEO of Lake County, who asked Henry Farag, could he come up with a song about Lake County? Now, arguably, I suppose Mr. Battistatos could claim that he was a co-author, too, but under this court's Erickson's test, that would just be an idea that would not be copyrightable. So that would be an example of what is meant by independently copyrightable. That isn't. But what Farag did here in his contributions to the lyrics, which Ms. Janke says in her complaint, there was at least a 20% contribution to the lyrics. Although then 4 or 5 years later, she says it's de minimis. But we never actually saw what the changes were until the trial. And it was in the trial transcript where there was quite a bit of testimony from Mr. Farag regarding exactly what changes were done to this song to comply with the requirements of Lake County. And if you look at the transcript, and I believe it's in the appendix around page 463, we went through with her, or with Mr. Farag, we went through with Ms. Janke with all the changes that were done to this song. And ultimately it came out that it was about 190 changes, actually, the song, when you look at it and what was done. What Mr. Farag did by adding words or changing words around changed the melody, changed the structure of the song itself, which that is something that is independently copyrightable under this court's Erickson's test. That's not an idea or direction or... As Erickson said, in no case does copyright protection for an original work of authorship extend to any idea embodied in such work. But Mr. Farag, what we have here, he actually contributed lyrics to this song, and that's at that point we should have had summary judgment in our favor on this issue. And in the event that this court finds that there was still for some reason an issue of fact. Then we should at least go back for a new trial on the co-authorship issue. Given the fact that we were not allowed to put in we put in evidence basically on a separate record to show independent copyrightability, but we were never allowed to bring it to the jury's attention, and it was not an instruction. We tried for an instruction on that. We didn't get the instruction. So under these circumstances, I would request that the court reverse the finding of the trial court and send it back at least for summary judgment to be entered, at least to be sent back to the trial court for a new trial on this issue, because this was such an important issue. And we never had an opportunity to litigate it with the jury. And one other point in the Erickson case, Erickson was different in a sense, because in that case what was going on is that the defendants were challenging the authorship itself of Ms. Erickson in that case. In our case, we were never challenging the authorship of Ms. Janke. It was actually she was challenging her own authorship in the sense that she identified two authors. So in Erickson, there was no challenge, or there was a challenge to the authorship itself, and we were not challenging her authorship. And then the other thing in Erickson, I noted that there was the who had the ultimate control over the song. And in that case, it was, or the play, in that case, it was said that Ms. Erickson had the ultimate control. And that, here, it was, there was no, if anybody had control over it based on the record, it would have been Mr. Farag and how the song was going to be presented to Lake County to promote Lake County. So under those circumstances, again, I would request that the court either enter an order of summary judgment on this or remand it back for a new trial on the co-authorship issue. For the balance, I rely on my brief, and I will reserve whatever rebuttal time I have.
Agreed.
May it please the court, respectfully, your panel and your honors. First of all, I'd like to state Gregory Reed on behalf of Cheryl Janke, the copyright owner, indisputed. The court is correct in respect that the appeal notice is defective. This case is flawed on many areas in terms of the appellant. In terms of the appeal before this court. Number one, that the appellant is a third party, seeks to assert the rights of another party who is not before this court, is Mr. Farag, who arguments would be the only person that would have standing in this issue with respect to argue this case with respect to what has transpired during the lower court. Number one, that the appellant argued with respect to this joint authorship. This would be a great travesty for this court to even entertain any argument with respect to their argument with respect to Erickson. Number one, the intent. The intent is started off with respect to the creation of the work in any copyright matter. They actually cite the copyright, the second copyright. They do not address the first copyright in May 1999, with which Ms. Janke filed. She created that work solely and independently by anyone. This is a case where the party is seeking to deprive another person of their property right without any writing, without an agreement when the work was first created. And they seek to muddy up and make their argument murky before this panel in terms of this intent with respect to this creation of this other work when Ms. Janke stated clearly that she had mistakenly filed the copyright with Mr. Farag's name on it, not Lake County, which is the appellant, which is a third party. Mr. Farag, number one, name was inadvertently put on the copyright because of the lack of experience of the person applying for the copyright during the second time. This was brought to a rehearsal where Mr. Farag had stated that Lake County, which is the appellant, was seeking parties for a promotion of a song. Ms. Janke brought the work completely created by herself to this rehearsal. Later on,
there was a long-term relationship, though, in this group, Stormy Weather or something it was called.
That is correct.
So, tell us about the history of this group.
The history of this group is Mr. Farag, who is a resident of this area. Ms. Janke had been a songwriter. She's the only songwriter in the group. Mr. Farag is not known to be a songwriter. There's a doo-wop group in terms of touring in the areas of Michigan, around Illinois, in the Midwest, in Indiana, in terms of the history of doo-wop, and Mr. Farag was known as a doo-wopper person. And so he had gathered a number of parties together in terms of having them to come together.
This song, as I understand it, not, believe me, I'm not sure exactly what issues are before us based on the jurisdictional statements here, but
thank you.
This is a song that's done for Lake County to promote visitors, tourism in Lake County, correct?
That is correct, yeah.
So I assume that's not a doo-wop song, or is it?
No, it's not a doo-wop, but it was a doo-wop group.
The doo-wop group doing a non-doo-wop song promoting...
I don't know whether we should have some illustrations of what a doo-wop song is.
Well, that's when the days when they used to sing on the corner, the a cappella style.
Nothing like Beethoven or Mozart or one of the...
No, not that classical, Your Honor.
Temptations and the
not a temptation. I represent one of the temptations, Your Honor. Yeah, so it's not a temptation style.
All right, so this Convention Bureau wants a song so they can put it on the radio or do something to generate interest in people coming to Lake County. Is that essentially the
Exactly,
situation?
Your Honor.
So this song is written. She gives some credit for it to...
To Mr. Farag inadvertently.
Advertently or inadvertently.
That is correct.
It's clear that she gives a thank you or something like that to him.
That is correct.
Some contribution. You don't deny that, do you?
No, I would not deny that. That is a fact, and she had mistakenly said that it should have never been cited on the copyright. Afterwards, Mr. Farag, Your Honor, in the panel, admitted that Ms. Jenke his name should have never been on the copyright and filed a counterclaim against her. So he denies that he should never receive any intention of being the creator of the work himself. He said that was a forgery.
Why did he disclaim any interest? Is the song that bad that he didn't want to have anything to do with it?
Well, Your Honor, I think we need to ask Mr. Farag, but he did deny it, that his name should never have been on the copyright. But then during the trial, what made it so obvious, Mr. Farag admitted within the court's record that actually Mr. Battistotto is the one that suggested the word, which is the appellant. So there was no meeting between Ms. Jenke nor Mr. Battistotto at all. He gave the information to Mr. Farag. And Mr. Farag said, well, these things need to be changed or whatever. So there was never a meeting between two authors at all under Erickson in terms of the intent to create a joint body of work. And Mr. Battistotto admitted that in the court record, Mr. Farag admitted. They have no standing as a third party to be before this panel to take up this panel worthwhile time to even hear this argument.
Well, I had nothing better to do, so you don't have to feel bad.
Well, respectfully, but at the same time, there was no intent. Then the words, under Erickson, is clearly stated, ideas or suggestions are not copyrightable. And that is a clear evidence within the USC copyright code that ideas and suggestions are not copyrightable. This is what they actually claim as being a joint body of work. So there's no joint authorship at all before this panel or within the record itself in order to consider this as a joint body of work.
I assume that Mr. Goldstein is going to comment sometime about remittitor here, which I thought was the major issue in this case.
Well,
this song, as I understand it, it's not for... nobody's going to buy this song, is that right?
Well, they sold some of the songs without Ms. Jenke's permission. That was the other issue in terms of the copyright infringement. They distributed the work across the United States, and 1,700 of the CDs were sold, I believe.
With just the song on it?
No, with a body of other doo-wop works.
Yes, but this song, this is only about one song. It's not a song that's going to appeal to anybody unless they happen to be listening to the radio and they want to travel someplace, and maybe Lake County is one of them, and they'll hear this song and they'll think of, Lake County, there's a great place. I'd like to go there for a little while. It's just not...
A commercially viable product is what you may... Well, Your Honor, that's remained to be... I understand what you're saying in that respect, and I remain, but the song was clearly infringed by the party here.
But the jury gave a lot of money.
No, not with respect to the copyright law, they didn't give enough money. But there were 17 infringements made by them. They had it promoted in the theater, this song. They had it on phones on hold, this song, and they promoted it on the radio as well. So it was promoted heavily by the appellant without the consent of the copyright owner. With respect to the copyright laws of the United States of America that Ms. Janke was entitled to damages. And to permit such a work to be transferred without a writing, they had a handshake between Mr. Farag and Mr. Battistatos. You cannot transfer a person's work under the United States Code without a writing. That would collapse the whole copyright industry in terms of someone saying that you can receive another person's work without a writing. And this is what they walked into court with and said there was a handshake and there was a transfer of property. That really go against the whole grain in terms of the United States Code of the Copyright Law. This is what the appellant, we argue this case and we have tried to settle this case many times with respect to the parties, even recently, in terms of permitting them to use the song. So we have bent over backwards in order to minimize this panel time with respect to hearing this case today. And that is that, A, is that we offered the song to them, and they still refused the song, even for a $1 consideration. They have sought to deprive Ms. Janke of her body of work of creation that she had put forth to offer under this promotional scheme. It was a scam from the beginning between Mr. Farag and Mr. Battistato in the Lake County.
That song was created in 1999?
That is correct.
And when did it stop being used or played?
Somewhere after 2002, thereabout.
Okay.
2002.
All right.
And Mr. Battistatos, who is Lake County, said that a license was worth $30,000 a year, and Ms. Janke had come up with that as well. There was no interest in terms of the damage that was. There was no attorney fees or costs associated with that. That the damage award was, frankly, was less than what the amount was the jury had even awarded in this instance of this case. With respect to the, there was an argument with respect to the notice of a sanction that was issued with respect to the appellee in terms of, we had filed an injunction against Lake County. That was part of the appeal brief. And there was a continuance of Lake County permitting Mr. Farag to circulate this song. The court said that there was no grounds for injunctions when this party continued to circulate the song itself across the United States. Ms. Janke, after the hearing, after three years later, we found out again that this song was continued to be circulated when the court had admonished them to cease circulation of the song. Ms. Janke found it on the internet that the song was still being circulated across the United States. She contacted her counsel and she said, "Will you seek a motion to enjoin them from continuing from circulating her song?" The court stated that there was no grounds for an injunction and sanctions the plaintiff counsel $2,500 for bringing another motion under this continued circulation of an infringement by the appellant. This notice appeal was filed with notice to the party. A sufficient notice was given to Lake County, to this panel, that this court has jurisdiction with respect to hear that. We stating that, number one, that the appeal is proper before this panel to reverse that sanction under those instances of a continuation by Lake County. Still today, they have not stopped from circulating, promoting that song on the internet by Mr. Farag, who was in association with him.
I just asked when they stopped playing or using this song. You said 2002.
That is correct. The sale of it is not. This song is still promoted for sale and distribution on the internet. You mentioned playing. but the sale and distribution is still an infringement.
But it's not a standalone song.
It's part of an album, CD. And when you distribute that a part of a body of work with other bodies of work, that constitutes an infringement. And it still remains the same as an infringement today. Thank you. So with respect to the copyright itself, there's a continual infringement by the appellant that's before this panel in the year of 2008. That is why the damages is even still insufficient in terms of what was rendered in the lower court. So what I have before you is that the appellant brief, the notice of appeal should be stricken. It's defective. It does not meet the court rules of the Seventh Circuit at all. A defective pleading. They lack standing before this body. Also, they have never overcome the burden of demonstrating that there is a joint authorship before this panel. There's no intent, and there's no copyrightable work that is being offered before this panel, and it should be stricken. Thank you for your time.
Goldstein, anything further?
Responding to the arguments about continuing infringement and all that, I'm not sure what Mr. Reed is referring to. His motion for injunctive relief was based on Mr. Farag's website, where it apparently has this album for sale. I don't know what he's referring to. We stopped using this song in 2002. We stopped selling the albums. We stopped it. We have not done anything with it since then. So that's just not right, what he's saying. And the basis of – he never, in his motion for injunctive relief, basically to stop us from selling this, I guess, on the Internet, he never attributed or accused Lake County of selling it. Lake County didn't at that point. It stopped it. Apparently he was coming up with there was some sort of partnership relationship between Farag and Lake County, and that I guess was the basis of it. But that had already been resolved earlier. There was no partnership with Lake County and Farag on distributing the album. So I'm not sure what he's referring to. I don't know why he's bringing up settlement issues in this case right now. That's not proper. And it shouldn't be in front of this panel. In regard to the amount of the judgment, which he says is not enough, I think what we were showing in our remitter was the fact that based on the testimony at trial, she knew by 1999 that we were using this song. I mean, she was there at the grand opening of the Visitors Bureau where the song was being played and shown on a video where she's singing the song as part of the grand opening presentation to the Visitors Bureau. So our contention is that she knew it by 1999. In fact, she even said in her trial testimony, and she kind of went back and forth, and she finally agreed that she tried to approach Mr. Battistatos about the credits on the song that identify on the video. It says that the song was written by Stormy Weather, which was the group. But she was trying to approach Mr. Battistatos to change that credit to say it was her song. But she didn't do anything after that. And that was what the trial testimony was. Now, in Mr. Reed's closing argument, he was asking for $30,000 a year for infringement through, I think, 2007. So he was asking for $240,000 ultimately, and plus interest. Ultimately, if you look at the jury verdict, I think what happened is the jury awarded 3 years of infringement up to the point where there was a stipulated fact when she knew of the unauthorized use and didn't do anything about it. And that was for 3 years, so that would be $90,000. And plus, as Mr. Reed had asked for interest component, that was how we believe the jury came up with $100,000. In regard to his comment,
because nobody asked the jury to specifically find, they just returned a number,
right?
$1,000.
Correct. They returned a number.
So whether they did it 3 years at 30 and added 10 for interest, that's just speculation, isn't it?
Well, we don't know for sure.
So if we don't know for sure, that makes it speculation.
I'm not going to dispute that. I'm just based on I don't know. I think it's a little more in speculation because he asked for prejudgment interest. She knew by X date, I think it was 3 years after, that she should have essentially told LCCVB about it, and she didn't. So I think it's a little more in speculation. But in any event, in regard to the May 1999 copyright of this song, which Mr. Reed referenced, that wasn't even an issue. It was stipulated that that was not the song that was used by LCCVB. That wasn't even an issue at trial. So I'm not sure why, again, he's bringing up the May 1999 copyright. Finally, on the back to the jurisdiction issue, by filing that appeal, that is what gives the court the jurisdiction under the federal rules, is my understanding. And that's how it was presented. The appeal included all the orders. I mean, if I had appealed before the motion for directed verdict, or excuse me, motion for remitter had been decided, it wouldn't have been from a final order. Therefore, I ask again for the relief in my brief that the matter either the summary judgment be entered, or that the matter be granted back either on it for a new trial on co-authorship, or that at least on to damages. Thank you.
Okay. All right, we'll take this case under discussion.